Elvis Duran in the Morning Show.
So coming up next, our friend Guy Fieri is here. We met Guy a long time ago.
Yep.
At the very beginning, when he first joined the Food Network family. Now he has turned Guy Fieri into
Guy Fieri.
I mean, he's doing so many fun things. He has a new show called, a new series called The Tournament of Champions. He also takes us into his private ranch in California with some of his favorite chefs. He's doing all sorts of things. The Miami Beach Wine and Food Festival. We're trying to coax him to do the New York Wine and Food Festival at our event.
Oh, that would be fun.
Guy Fieri is just one of the nicest guys in the business. And we know a lot of people in the food business. He actually brought some chicken. The chicken guy.
Get out of here.
Chicken guy.
Dude, why would he bring chicken on Ash Wednesday? Thanks, Guy.
Why can't you eat chicken? That's not meat.
It is meat.
No.
It's meat.
Chicken is not meat.
Chicken is poultry.
We'll have the debate. We'll have the debate. You know who loves chicken?
Well, I'm here in the freezing cold getting free chicken sandwiches.
Yes.
Because the food tastes great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's chicken. It's fried chicken.
There you go. So Chicken Guy and Guy Fieri. We have a lot of fun coming up next. Plus, we're going to play a fun game with Guy. He doesn't know about this yet.
Uh-oh.
This is on the way. So coming up next, the one and only Guy Fieri.
Hey, this is Guy Fieri. Sit down, shut up, and hold on. Elvis Duran in the Morning Show. Now here's Elvis.
Wow, what an honor to have Guy Fieri as your in-house announcer. Hey, Guy.
That was like a wrestling match. Is what you said.
It was.
Sunday. That's Monster Truck.
Hey, you know what's kind of fun about doing a radio show with headphones on?
Huh?
Is that you can hear your voice in your headphones, and
right.
it gives you neck nuts.
Is that what it's called?
You're talking like the...
You get neck nuts. Come on down for neck nuts.
You should serve some of those as an appetizer.
I haven't thought of that. Name them after you.
Deep fried neck nuts with a habanero sauce. Anyway, we have lots to talk to Guy Fieri about. First of all, we remind you, we first met Guy in what year was that when you came to our radio station?
82, I believe.
Oh, my God.
It was 82. It feels like it was 82.
It really does.
Eisenhower was president.
Yes, he was. And,
anyway, you won a competition with the Food Network.
Right. It was Food Network Star Season 2, and we had to come to the studio, and I'd never been to New York before, and we had to come to the studio and make make our favorite Italian dish for
chicken
you.
Parm.
I made chicken parm, and I'm like, and it's like 6 in the morning, and we're cooking in the lobby on camp stoves, and it was the weirdest thing in the world. And then I come in and meet your whole team, and you guys are, you know, like you'd been up for hours or days just out of Vegas from a binge or something, and I meet all of you, and I'm like, this is out of control, and that was the beginning of our friendship or our bail money.
Well, but from our perspective, watching you, Guy, and everything that you continue to accomplish, including the new series we got to talk about, has just been just wild. I mean, we're so proud of you. Congratulations on everything.
Well, I appreciate it. And this is actually, we were just talking before we came on there. You know, coming to see you and see all the success and, I mean, now nationwide, worldwide. I mean, I know people are streaming this all over. Is awesome, and I appreciate you having me back. And so I brought some gifts, although I did bring the chicken on the wrong day. Someone's going to eat
not
fry over there.
But you know what, Bud?
Okay, Danielle, explain what he's talking about.
So today's Ash Wednesday, which means, you know, Ash Wednesday is the start of Lent, which means you don't eat meat on Ash Wednesday.
Chicken isn't meat.
If you're Catholic, it is
I covered
meat.
It in breadcrumbs.
It is meat. But
it's a carb.
He did tell me that it actually tastes even better left over the next day.
If it's really good fried chicken, it'll taste great the next day. You know how fried chicken was when your grandma would make it?
So
it's
I'm going to take
exactly.
it home.
Okay, good. And I brought a lot.
And I'm not Catholic, so I'm just eating the hell out of this meat.
And Scary is, but he doesn't really care. So
So let's start with Chicken Guy. Now, we don't have a Chicken Guy here in New York City, but we have the best tasting Chicken Guy chicken here. How did you get it here? Because it's in the boxes and stuff.
I have a great business partner named Robert Earl who owns Planet Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And so Robert and I started this chicken concept about 2.5-3 years ago. And we developed this because Robert told me the future is chicken. I was trying to pitch him on a burger concept. He says, the future. He's got this big, rich English accent. And he says, the future is chicken. I mean, like it was a movie premiere. And so Chef Anthony Hoi Fong, who's my exec chef, we started working on this. And I've seen great fried chicken from around the country, but I like a little bit of this one or a little bit of that or an aspect of this or a taste of that or a presentation of this. So we started developing it, and it's a brine. We brine it in buttermilk and pickle juice.
Oh.
And a couple other things, garlic and so forth. And then we hand bread it, and then we pressure fry it. So what happens is you don't get this big, heavy, thick batter where it's a lot of batter and a little chicken. We give you a lot of chicken and a little batter. And we make it, and then we make 22 scratch-made house sauces that go with it. So if you're going to eat fried chicken in today's world, you better eat damn good fried chicken.
Yeah, no, don't screw it up.
Exactly.
It's easy to screw up fried chicken.
And I take my fried chicken, and when I go to one of the restaurants, we have two down in Florida, and we have D.C. and San Francisco, and then we're opening 11 this year. My kids will say, like, hey, if you can, a little fried chicken. Yeah. And I'll bring it home, and I'll see them in the morning, you know, and they'll be packing it up.
Well, that's the beauty of fried chicken. You know, fried chicken was invented by people in the South, if I get the story right. Black people were not welcome in restaurants. So when they wanted to travel from town to town to see friends, they had to take food with them that would be okay on the road and be okay to eat the next day. It's so sad that a very, very, very awful world actually gave us something as fantastic as fried chicken. And always keep in mind that those are the roots. And now... we're eating it here.
Yeah.
Did you know that story?
I didn't know that story, no.
That's true.
I didn't know that story. There's a lot of, you know, if you take the history of food, if you look at where food came from, a lot of times it was food preservation because they didn't have refrigeration. So you got this, like you had an animal, you butchered an animal, and you had to go, and what are we going to do with all these different parts of the animal? So like making sausage, for instance, it's kind of the last parts of the animal, and going ahead and smoking it or preserving the meats through some form of preservation. But everything, making beef jerky, that would be another form of, you know, we have this part of the animal, and we want to, you know, keep this from spoiling. That's a lot of how the food world came to the recipes that are going on.
But there are some foods you eat.
That's real compelling talk, isn't it?
No, it is. Because, Guy, and there are some foods out there that we eat every day that you're wondering, like, who was the first weirdo to try that?
Yeah.
Like, who ate that egg?
No, the oyster is always my favorite. Let me walk along. This thing looks like a rock. I'm going to pry it open. Now it really looks like...
it looks like a booger.
Thank you for saying it.
Okay, question. Is avocado toast bougie? It's a yes or no.
I apologize. What's bougie?
The witness will answer the question.
What is bougie?
Bougie, like, you know, kind of snotty, snobby.
Oity-toity.
Like people
listen,
who brunch.
I get down with the avocado toast.
All right. Yeah.
I think my wife makes great avocado toast. I'll tell you how. But you got to have a really good, hearty bread. So you know the wheat bread that you laugh at when they make it on a sandwich? You're like, wow, that looks like it has a pine cone in it. The heartier and the bigger and the thicker and the crunchier the wheat bread, really toasted well, then you can really lay on the avocado because I want a bunch of avocado. It's got to have a really good olive oil. It's got to have just a pinch of some really good Maldon salt, some really good sea salt, and then just a couple cracks of fresh black pepper. And that, to me, is a fantastic way to get the day going. Oh.
But how do you avoid shredding the top of your mouth on that type of bread?
You just got to load up the avocado.
Okay.
Yeah, and eat the avocado on the top, not on the... Don't turn it inverted. It can't be inverted. Like,
it just sounds like a good way to bleed out.
Yeah. If you're just turning us on, Guy Fieri, hosting a new culinary competition series called Tournament of Champions.
Before we do that, can I understand where was the avocado toast question coming from? Is there like an avocado hate club going?
No, but we have this argument. Now, avocado is great for everyone.
Right.
Toast is good for everyone. But to me, avocado toast seems like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's very rosé.
And I like rosé.
Oh, my gosh. You're
maybe I'm serious. I'm going to get kicked out, aren't I?
You're such a Californian. Hey, so I want to tell the story.
Tournament of Champions.
I want to tell the story. I want to get to Tournament of Champions in a second. 2 years ago, at the Miami Beach Wine and Food Festival, they had a big, huge thing in a hotel ballroom for Bobby Flay, and all the chefs came out and kissed the ring, and it was fabulous. And I noticed that chefs, they are in Miami Beach for this incredible event that they do every year, which we love. But they were rowdy drinking. They were just having a good time because they're all good friends. And so I was talking to Scary. I said, I feel like a fish out of water here because there's like the powerhouses of culinary pageantry or whatever. I don't know.
Event. It's the chef event of the world. I mean, everybody, you want to go.
You do want to go, but there are chefs there that they're so powerful they could have us all killed. But that's another story.
Okay.
And so out of nowhere, Guy Fieri walks up to the table, and I'm like, oh, and he looks at me and went, oh, hi, Elvis. And he hugged me, and I'm like, oh, finally, a chef that I can just talk to like a normal person.
And I said, where'd the other half of you go?
I lost a little weight.
You look great. I told you. That's the first thing I said. It's like, dude, what are you doing?
But this is why America loves Guy Fieri, because you are so approachable. You are so real world. You make all of us want to be your friend, because your Triple D's the best show on TV. Everything you do, from your ranch and
you take us to Flavortown.
I mean,
I'll tell you what, Flavortown, we've had some talks about this. Someone's like, why don't you buy like a small town that really needs some renovation and you could come in and like we could really make it Flavortown? I'm like, do not get me started on stuff like that.
You know, I could sell you Staten Island.
Buy a small town.
Seriously. Why not? Flavortown Island. So let's talk about Tournament of Champions. What exactly are you doing now?
We get to have music when that Tournament of Champions.
There
champions,
you go. Champions. Come on, Neck Nuts.
Yes. I'm going to get you a t-shirt that says that. So Tournament of Champions. So here's what it is. So we do Diners, Drive-Ins, Dives.
Tournament of Champions. Please describe it now.
That's proper Tournament of Champions music. Thank you. Tournament of Champions. There you go. So what it was is we're doing Guys Grocery Games for so many years. We've been doing it for 7 years. We just celebrated our 400th episode. And I'm watching all my brothers and sisters, all these great chefs come and compete. And I'm thinking, you know what? I want to take the competition to another level. I want to take the competition to a level where it's ultra mega difficult. So we created this thing called the randomizer. And I want to make sure that the judging is unbiased. So nobody knows what's going on. So we sequester the judges when the competition's going on. And then we sequester the chefs that have cooked while the judging's going on. So nobody can know what's going on. I don't want there to be any predisposed opinion or attitude or whatever. So we brought 16 of the greatest chefs from around the country, and ironically enough, 8 from the East Coast, 8 from the West Coast, and put them in a bracket competition. So you've heard of March Madness. Well, we do Munch Madness.
Yes.
Thank you very much. We made that up yesterday.
Sounds dirty.
It does.
Of course, only you would take it that way, and I appreciate it. It's my new key phrase to it, and you just made it dirty, so we'll stop that one.
Gandhi? Yes. Thought the same thing. Yes. Anyway, okay, Munch Madness.
So we make this bracket competition, and what happens is we spin this gigantic wheel. So what I didn't want to have happen is I just read a list. Okay, you're going to have chicken to work with and pork to work with and cabbage. No, so we spin this big wheel called the randomizer, and it picks a particular protein, a particular vegetable, a particular style of cooking, like sweet and crunchy, a unique piece of cooking equipment like a smoking gun or a spiralizer or something like that, and then the time. So all 5 things are spun and it lands, and the 2 chefs that are getting ready to battle have to look at this ridiculous combination of things they got to work with.
That could be difficult.
It's hell on wheels. I mean, it is tough. Then they do the battle, so maybe 30 minutes, 35 minutes. After they're done, they go sit in a green room and watch on closed circuit TV the greatest chefs, I mean, some of the icons of the industry, walk onto the stage, don't know whose food they're looking at, and they start to pick it apart. And it's hell.
It's kind of cruel. I mean,
it's awesome. And there's 16 chefs, and I'm just hoping after the show airs that most of them will call me back. Because there's some upsets, there's some tears, there's some frustration, good. It's some really quality TV, and it's without question, I think it's the most difficult competition I've ever seen.
So when do we see Tournament of Champions?
Well, if you just go ahead and binge watch it, that would be awesome. No, it starts March 4th.
Okay.
10 o'clock.
Can we binge it, or is it
No, it's going to be Food Network's holding this one really tight. This is our big baby.
Such a tease.
But the great thing with it is you'll see your favorite chefs and even some chefs you don't know. And that's one of the things that we're trying to do is I'm trying to develop this to be a nationwide competition or worldwide competition where we can start do the brackets from the Northeast, Southwest, and start having folks that are not as well known. That was the whole idea. I got such a break and such an opportunity. I try to share that opportunity with my fellow chefs and make sure that they get the light shined on them.
Okay, so March 4th.
Yep. Make notes on that. Food Network. Punch it in your phone probably just to set an alarm.
4th. Okay, done.
Alarm.
Alarm. You know what? We are on all across America and around the world, actually, in big cities and little towns. And I always remind people that, look, you know, you have these incredible chain restaurants that come to town and you love them. They're consistent and you know what you're going to get every time. Never forget the little restaurants that have been there since before you were born and the ones that are being started up by new chefs or restaurants that were inherited from a parent and the kid retools the whole thing. And this is what Triple D is just, and you've been so great at doing. And out of all these 5-star Michelin rated restaurants in the world, you drive your convertible across America and visit these. Some of them are holes in the wall, some are not. And you really, really turn us on to experiences that we wouldn't do otherwise. I love how you've done this over the years.
I like how you said turn it on and then just left it hanging.
Turn it on.
You really turn us on.
Are you still loving doing Triple D? Are you still doing it?
I love, oh yeah, I'll be doing Triple D in a walker. All right.
Okay.
They'll be pulling me off the bus and I'll be getting, you know, Triple D, so we just did, what was it? I don't know what show we're on. We're on our 400th and something show, 1200th location. Wow. We've done it all over the world now. I mean, we went to Cuba. We did a couple Triple D's. But I'll tell you what Triple D is, and you hit it exactly right. These are the mom and pop joints. These are the ones that sponsor your little league team. These are the ones that you went to your prom on. This one you went to the funeral with. This is the fabric of the food industry, you know. And I think what people get is they kind of get this, if it's not pushed in their face all the time with advertisement, they kind of forget how great these little gems of their community are.
Right.
So what Triple D's about is I kind of cruise in, don't go down the beaten path. I go down these little, you know, these little side streets and find these funky little joints. And you're right, man. They are the bread and butter. They are the epicenter. And thank goodness we have them, because that's where a lot of the great aspiring chefs now have come from, is these little small joints.
You want to freak someone out? Pull your convertible and your crew up in front of La Bernardin uptown. Hey, we're here to do one of the New York City's most expensive, you must wear a suit and tie restaurants.
Yes.
Here comes Guy Fieri. Hey!
Do you know that car is on the road? That's my personal car. It's my 68 Camaro. And that car is on the road almost 365. We have a full, Todd is our full-time driver. He's in a truck and a trailer. And I mean, we'll shoot in Miami and the next week we'll be in Seattle. And
how do you get it to
drive.
Hawaii though? Because you've had it in Hawaii.
No, we didn't. We took it to Hawaii one time. And the thing was, it got stuck going back and forth. And we're shooting every other week. So when we go to Hawaii, we'll borrow somebody's car.
It's a stunt car.
Yeah. And then I try to load those on containers and take them home, but that doesn't work.
Do you have a favorite place that you, out of all the places you've gone, that's the one?
Who's your favorite relative?
Good luck with that.
You know, because I tell you that, but I will tell you that, I'll tell you this. There are some of these Triple D joints that have gone from one location to multiple locations and have blown up. And the charity work, and I mean, one of my buddies out here is a guy named Panini Pete. Panini Pete and a guy named Stretch from a joint called Grinders in Missouri.
Do you hang out with mobsters?
They're all names. And Gorilla, that's one of the other guys. But these guys, I was doing a lot of work with the military and going out and cooking for the Navy. And these guys took it a whole nother level and have a worldwide program now called the Mess Lords. And they take Triple D chefs and go cook for the military all over the world.
Oh, wow. Speaking of, she's been on hold for a long time. Jeanette, say good morning to Guy Fieri.
Good morning, Guy Fieri and Elvis Duran and everybody.
Okay, hi everybody. You met Guy somewhere very special, and tell us about the impression he made on you.
Yes, I was on deployment on the USS Enterprise in 2007, and Guy Fieri came onto our ship, and we had a chili cook-off, and I was part of that as the Grease Monkeys because I was a mechanic. And it was really awesome, and Guy Fieri was really nice, even though everybody said our chili was too spicy. Yeah.
Jeanette, I remember that trip, and I remember that competition. And first, let me say thanks for serving our country. We are so blessed to have the men and women and their families and everybody that supports us. So you're awesome. And that's the reason I went. And the Enterprise, as we know, was an amazing, amazing vessel. And your team was, there's over 5,000 people on that, or 5,000 sailors on that ship. And we had a chili competition, and it got off the hook. Was that not a blast or what, Jeanette?
I had so much fun.
Well,
it was really great.
I'm glad you remember it. We remember it, and it was a very special time because I had never been out on the water like that in a big ship.
Right.
And it's a city. And when you're talking about feeding four meals in a day and everything that these sailors are going through and the way the system works and the way they participate and support one another to do a chili contest in the middle of it, I'm like, I don't know how anybody's organizing this, but I'm glad you remember that, Jeanette. I appreciate you saying hi.
That is so cool.
Thank you.
All right, Jeanette. Thanks for listening to us. It's an honor to have you out there. Look, you know what? You think you know someone? You think you know everything that Guy Fieri is doing? You don't know. And thank goodness someone called up and say, oh, yeah, we caught him doing something really good.
What's the classy way when you don't like something to not be like, because that's the thing that I do, and I need to not do that anymore.
Well, I don't, this is a question people ask all the time. You don't like everything you eat.
You can't.
So you don't see it. If it's on Triple D and I don't like it, you don't see it. I'm not going to sell you a bag of beans. That's always been a thing about, when I first got on there, there was a couple of contentious times where they're like, I'm not talking about this. Like, well, you know, we're here. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not talking.
Good.
We have such a great vetting process now that we don't really run into that concern. But there's a difference between liking something, like this is good. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between loving something, like I got to have more of this. So there's that kind of difference, but not really anymore does it come into the, I don't like things. But if you know, if I'm at one of my friend's house and they make something I don't like, I'm pretty clear with this sucks.
Good. Yes, so now you know. No,
when you watch the Food Network and you see Triple D, you know it's real. Are you a Game of Thrones fan at all? It's a yes or no.
Nope.
Good.
Okay.
Welcome to foreign food or Game of Thrones character. Are you good with foreign foods?
I'm pretty good with foreign foods, but my son Hunter told me I'm supposed to watch Game of Thrones, but I didn't get in on it early.
Okay.
And I'm not, you know, then when you're not in early, you're not in the club and you don't know.
Let's see how you do. I'm now going to read off either a foreign food or a Game of Thrones character. You have to tell me which one it is. And if you guess foreign food, you have to tell me what it is.
Jeez.
All right.
Now, if it's Scandinavian, I had this the other day. Someone gave me all these Scandinavian names. It was just furniture from IKEA.
Yeah, I know.
I was getting destroyed on this. Every one of them sounded like a meatball.
Audubon. All right. The first foreign
food. That's meatloaf.
Foreign food or Game of Thrones character, hot pie.
Well, I got to say foreign food.
No, I'm sorry. That is Ben Hawkey from Game of Thrones.
Someone is called Hot Pie on the show?
His name was Hot Pie.
They used to call me that in high school.
Wow. Here comes old Hot Pie.
Okay, Gandhi, who was Hot Pie?
Hot Pie was Arya Stark's little friend.
Of course.
Yeah.
And the name was Hot Pie.
His name was Hot Pie.
All right.
See,
ready?
I thought Hot Pie was... Sometimes countries will take American food and they'll want to make it sound like a cool, like contemporary thing, so they'll call it something. You know, and know that they're supposed to add other words
to it.
Well,
that's a good explanation.
Hot pie.
It's wrong, but it's very good.
Just hot pie.
Just trying to dig myself out of the hole, boss.
Let's continue with foreign food or Game of Thrones character, Bloodkorv. Bloodkorv. Foreign food or Game of Thrones character, Bloodkorv.
Are you even pronouncing it right? Because that could also be throwing me off. I'll go foreign food.
Yes, it's a Swedish blood sausage.
Oh, hey. Delicious. Thank you. I knew you were going to pull Swedish out on me because you didn't even say it right because I'm a big fan of blood
okay,
sausage.
Game of Thrones character or foreign food, mommy. M-A-M-M-I, mommy.
I'm going to go foreign food.
Yes, it's from Finland. It's an Easter dessert pudding.
Okay.
Serve some of that up with that blood sausage.
You're doing well.
Invite the kids over.
Okay. Curliket.
What?
Curliket.
Curliket? That's a Game of Thrones
yes,
person. Yes.
It's Kevin Keenan.
Curliket? I don't remember who that is.
We don't either. We don't care.
Do you, Nate?
We're just trying to stump
okay.
this. Yes. Have you seen his new show, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dothrak?
That is Game of Thrones. Dothraki.
Okay.
Dothraki.
Why am I sweating? I came to see you, and now I'm sitting in the hot seat.
I know.
Ready? He's searching your list over here. He's got like 12 pages. He's trying to find the hardest ones.
Okay. One more. Foreign food or Game of Thrones character. Are you ready? Selmor. S-E-L-M-O-R.
Selmor. Feel like it was a spelling bee. Selmor. Can I use it in a sentence, please?
I'll use it in a sentence.
Yes, please.
Selmor. We killed it.
I'll say Game of Thrones.
No, sorry. That's a dessert from Sweden.
How's it? We killed it. And thanks for the wah-wah music. No chicken for you.
All right, look.
I'm going to go order up some of that Easter blood pudding festival sausage.
This game was the worst idea ever.
That's terrible.
Hey, what is this bottle in front of me?
Well, it's what I should have drank before I walked in here.
Is this a tequila?
I brought you a gift to take back to your ranch, but now I think we're just going to start passing it around.
Tequila Blanco, Santo Fino.
So Sammy Hagar, one of my really good friends and a guy that I admired in business and all kinds of stuff, used to have a great tequila called Cabo Wabo.
Right.
And I'd sell it in my restaurants back in California. I would sell it like crazy just so I could, you know, just so I could meet Sammy and we could hang out because I was the number one selling restaurant. And so we became good buddies, and then everything goes to the next level. But I told him when he sold Cabo Wabo, I said, do me a favor. If you ever get in the tequila business again, would you give me a call? So about 5 years later, he gets into the rum business. I said, Sammy, where's the call? He said, you said the tequila business. I said, dang. 5 years later, he calls me. This is just a couple years ago. And he said, are you ready? And I said, for what? And he says, are you? And I said, yeah. He said, "Let's. We're in the tequila business.
Good for
so
you.
This is Sammy and I, and we got a couple partners with us and a great team. And he kept all of his contacts down in Mexico. And so this is real premium tequila. We make another one called a mezquila, which is part mezcal and part tequila, because mezcal gets so rough and dirty ashtray.
Yeah,
but But it's a great blend though, and we have this, and then we have the Blanco that just came out, and then we have a Reposado and an Añejo coming. But this is, you know, I'm a big tequila fan. I thought I'd bring you a bottle. I think you could use it in the morning.
We do.
Definitely the whole show.
It's
could.
Very
evidently, I must have dropped it off earlier with the Schlumberg or whatever that great sausage is. But no, it's a great project we're working on, and we're just starting to go nationwide with it, and hopefully it'll be out. Hopefully we'll see it here in New York in the next month or so.
We have gallons of tequila and all sorts of spirits rolling around this place. It's in
gallons. That explains a lot now.
So there's a gentleman named Bob Pittman who runs iHeartRadio.
Right.
He also owns Casa Dragones down in Mexico, which we've known to have a sip or two. And then now all of our celebrity friends, including Guy Fieri, they bring their tequilas in.
Shaggy comes and gets us wasted. Nick Jonas. What's his name came in?
What's his name?
A couple of weeks ago. He got us wasted. I forget his name. They're all getting us wasted.
But now we have a new favorite. It is Tequila Blanco, which is Santo Fino.
So, but one of the things that I tried to explain to everybody about this is it's not an endorsement deal. I mean, I'm the owner. So this is my blood, sweat, and tears. This is us doing this. This is Sammy down in Mexico cutting deals. I mean, this is so we're not as big as everybody else is, but I definitely will put it against any tequila you'll find out there.
Well, look, it's a pleasure having you here, Guy Fieri. Your friends from the Food Network are getting all nervous over there, which really kind of ruins the interview a little bit. So never invited back.
Why? Because this means have a great show?
You know, whatever.
The tapping of the watch?
It's okay. It's okay. I've been kicked out of worse networks.
Well, we have a lot of... Let's talk about this. We have a lot of things to go over. One, thank you for the promo on TOC, Tournament
of
Champions.
It's May 4th on the Food Network.
March 4th. But it doesn't matter. It's Swedish furniture. the other thing, I want to invite you to the ranch. I know that you watch Guy's Ranch Kitchen, and that's one of your favorite, but I want to invite you to the ranch. And I mean this to the team. You guys get some time off, and you come up there to Northern California or right outside of Napa and come hang out at the ranch and watch the chefs. We put on, I think, one of the greatest cooking shows that happens, and it's on Saturdays. But it's just the chefs. We get together and jam and just cook and talk smack, and it's a blast. So I want you to come up and do that with us.
Well, these are just several of the examples that make you just our favorite. So, Guy Fieri, thank you so much for coming in today.
You're awesome.
And don't forget, again, Tournament of Champions and everything on the Food Network support. But, of course, that comes out on March 4th. We'll be right back after this. Guy Fieri was just here. We did had a great time with him. His new show, Tournament of Champions, will be on the Food Network on March 4th, and we hope you watch everything Guy does, and let's support everything he does.